Good evening and welcome to worship. My name is Scott Kirshner, Village Pastor, and we've got a few quick announcements before we begin our worship. I hope that you have a red hymnal, which we'll need through our service, and we'll also have lots of music that will not be in the book, but will be taught us by our cantor and our choir tonight. So it's a very participatory service musically tonight. A word about our communion practice here at Holden. All are welcome to receive the sacrament. And a word logistically about that. There will be three stations, one to the front and two to one to each side of the altar. As you come forward, you will receive the bread, and the first chalice will have wine for drinking. If you would prefer to drink from an individual cup, you may take a small individual cup, and the first pitcher will have wine, and the second pitcher will have grape juice. If you do not wish to receive, you are still welcome to come forward to receive a blessing, and simply cross your arms in front of your chest to so indicate. And for a more detailed description of our communion practice, you can find that in the back cover of your red hymnal. And finally, about the offering that will be given tonight, our offering through these summer months is going to go toward ministries in Haiti. And so those being Lutheran World Federation, Haiti, St. Joseph's Family, which is a ministry, an organization that serves children in need in Haiti, as well as the Lutheran Church of Haiti. So 100% of your offerings given tonight and through the summer will go to support those ministries and organizations. And now I will put you back in the hands of our music leaders who are going to teach a little more music before we begin our service.
Just a couple of things to learn before we begin. These red books you will need later in the service, but not until after the sermon. So I'm going to ask you to put them underneath your pews. And the first part of the service will simply be paperless, and you'll receive your instructions from us up here. Much of what we'll sing will be sung for you first, and then you'll sing back what you hear. We're going to just learn one part of our great Thanksgiving, the Sanctus. When we are at the table receiving the meal, we're going to sing a setting from Puerto Rico.
This is a plena, and so we need to do a little dancing while we're at it. So just sit for a minute and watch, and then I'll ask you to stand, and we'll give this a try. We're just going to do a simple side-to-side movement. If you had on a nice skirt, this is where you could twirl it, so you can pretend, or you can put your hands behind your back, and we'll just do a little bit of this dance to the plena, and then we're going to sing. La 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 la, la 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 la, la 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 la, la 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 la. Let's sing together. La 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 la, la 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 la. Then when we get to the actual Holy Holy, as we celebrate this feast at the table, I'm going to start and you follow. And not only with your voice, but with your hands as well. Holy, 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 God of power and might.
Holy, 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 God of power and might.
Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.
Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest.
Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest.
Beautiful. All right. We'll trust that you'll get that move going when you're on your feet. Woo! Wasn't that good? All right. And we are going to sing throughout our liturgy this piece of music from Brazil, and we'll sing different words as we go through our Kyrie and our Alleluia and our Offertory. But we'll start with the words for our Kyrie, and listen to this tune. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Everyone? Lord, have mercy. Christ, Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Once more? Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. If you sing alto, you could try. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Let's do those two parts together. Lord, Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Or if you've got a nice high voice like tenors especially, you could try this.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Other two parts quietly. Tenors, let's hear you.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
One more time.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy.
Rise and turn to face the font. As we sing together, Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
For peace in the church, for the healing of the nations, and for renewal of creation,
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
For those who thirst or hunger, those who have no shelter, and for all who are in prison, let us pray.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
For all who gather here to sing their thanks and praise and to plead for help and mercy, let us pray.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy.
Comfort and defend us, O God.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Praise, praise, praise God. Praise God's holy name. Alleluia. Praise, praise, praise God. Praise God's holy name. Alleluia. Praise God's holy name. Alleluia. Praise God's holy name. Now everybody. Praise God's holy name. Alleluia. Praise God's holy name. Alleluia. Clouds, alleluia. We have seen your glory streaming through the clouds, alleluia, streaming through the clouds, alleluia. We have felt your power rising from the earth, alleluia. We have felt your power rising from the earth, alleluia. Rising from the earth, alleluia. Rising from the earth, alleluia. God who spins the planets, lead us in the dance, alleluia. Lead us in the dance, alleluia. Lead us in the dance, alleluia. God who fills the oceans, fill our hearts with love, alleluia. Fill our hearts with love, alleluia. Fill our hearts with love, alleluia. Praise, praise, praise God. Praise God's holy name, alleluia.
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 Praise
God's holy name, alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God of heaven and earth, before the foundation of the universe and the beginning of time, you are the triune God, author of creation, eternal word of salvation, life-giving spirit of wisdom. Guide us to all truth by your spirit, that we may proclaim all that Christ has revealed and rejoice in the glory he shares with us. Glory and praise to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from Genesis. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. While a wind from God swept over the face of the waters, then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness God called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day.
And God said, "Let there be a dome in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." So God made the dome and separated the waters that were under the dome from the waters that were above the dome, and it was so. God called the dome sky, and there was evening, and there was morning the second day.
And God said, "Let the waters under the sky be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together God called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth put forth vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees of every kind on earth that bear fruit with the seed in it." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed of every kind, and trees of every kind bearing fruit with the seed in it. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day.
And God said, let there be light in the dome of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them be a sign, or let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be lights, let them be lights in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth. And it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night and the stars. God set them in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day.
And God said, let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the dome of the sky. So God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves of every kind with which the waters swarm, and every winged bird of every kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the sea, and let birds multiply on the earth. And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day.
And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things and wild animals of the earth of every kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind and cattle of every kind and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over the wild animals of the earth and over the every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created humankind in the divine image. In the image of God, humankind was created. Male and female, God created them. God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the seas and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. God said, see, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of the earth, and every tree with seeds in its fruit. You shall have them for food, and every bird or every beast of the earth and every bird of the air and everything that creeps on the earth. Everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food, and it was so. God saw everything that had been made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day.
Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all their multitude. And on the seventh day, God finished the work that had been done. And God rested on the seventh day from all the work that had been done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work God had done in creation. These are the generations of the heaven and the earth when they were created.
Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
How majestic is your name in all the earth. Psalm 8. How majestic is your name in all the oh, God, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of mouths of babes and infants, you have founded a bulwark because of your foes to silence the enemy and the avenger.
A reading from 2 Corinthians. Paul writes, "Finally, brothers and sisters, farewell. Put things in order. Listen to my appeal. Agree with one another. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to Matthew. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the earth. H. The Gospel of the Lord. This is the day when most pastors become good heretics. This is the one Sunday a year where we are presented with the possibility or the temptation of dealing with the doctrine of the Trinity. Parishioners fear deep, heavy, and boring theological discourses. I am going to spare you all the pain. For I agree with one of the reformers, Philip Melanchthon, who stated that God's mysteries are to be enjoyed, not to be explained. This Trinity Sunday is the first Sunday in the season of Pentecost, where we see the movement of the Spirit in the life of communities, disciples, and the nascent Christian church. Movement is at the heart of who God is and what God wills for God's world. The gospel for this Sunday points toward that movement, the Great Commission, that propels us into the world to make disciples, to teach and baptize in the name of the triune God. But the movement that I want you to see is the invitation in the beginning of the text for tonight, the invitation of Jesus to his disciple to go to this mountain. To go to this mountain. The resurrected Jesus, the risen Christ of God, does not invite the disciples and the community of the 11 to meet in Jerusalem, the center of political and religious power. It would have made sense for Jesus to say, now this is our day. Let's go down and show to the religious authorities and to the people that I was right. But rather than doing that, Jesus invites the disciples to this mountain in the region of Galilee. According to some people, nothing good could come out of that region. It is there, in this marginal place, from where nothing good will come or could come, that this small community of believers find the risen Lord. This invitation to be on the move and to go to marginal places is at the center of Jesus' mission. Over and over again, the gospel narratives show us Jesus with the invitation to cross borders. One of my favorite stories in the gospel is this invitation of Jesus to his disciples to go to the other side of the lake. You remember the story. After a hard day of work, the disciples thought that Jesus was inviting them to a well-deserved R&R. But far from that, Jesus' invitation to go to the other side of that lake was not an invitation to rest, but an invitation to engage in mission. For that lake or sea represented a border. On this side of the lake was the familiar, what was known, even to some, the holy and the sacred. On the other side was the unknown, the unholy and the unfamiliar. And it is to that side that Jesus invites his disciples. And the first thing that they find when they get to their side is what? A crazy man. Whom is healed. Over and over again, Jesus invites us
to cross borders. For borders are not frontiers. Borders is a place, or are places, where exchange happens. And it is to those places where there is interaction and exchange that Jesus invites us over and over again. And it is there, in that other side, where God's power and mission to restore community is embodied, in this case, in the life of the crazy person, or some other borders, as Jesus engages a Samaritan woman, lepers, different able people, sexual workers, peoples that were looked down and trodden upon, people that did not fit to the standards of their societies. Go and make disciples is the command given to the disciples. But this time around, there is a difference. The first time that Jesus says to the 12 goes, he says, not to go to the Gentiles, not to enter the town of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. However, now, the mission is given to go to all nations, to cross all those borders that we could find, whether they are geographical, ethnic, social, religious, or at times, gender ones. For it is in this movement, it is in this crossing of borders that the promise to Abraham is fulfilled. For in this crossing of borders, by Jesus and by his authority and in the power of the Spirit, all nations are blessed in the Christ of God. We are in the business of moving, of crossing borders. Just think about the many borders that we have crossed together as a church in this country. If we stay with our own family, the Lutheran, think about the many borders that we cross. You remember the times where Danes and Norwegians and Swedes and Finns worshiped separately? And then to complicate things further, the Latino came in and joined the crowd. You remember when we crossed that border of whether women were able or fit to be ordained? Think about the borders that we are crossing these days in our life together as a community of believers. It is not an easy task, but this triune God keeps moving toward the world, seeking to gift us with that which God is. In the reading from 2 Corinthians, we see this reality of the nature of God as the Apostle Paul shares a blessing with the recipients of these letters. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Grace, love, and communion is what God is. And it is this what God wills for God's people. Leonardo Boff, a Brazilian theologian, describes the Trinity as the mystery of inclusion. The Trinity is a community of persons where one dwells in the other in a deep and extreme relationality. The first sentence of his book on the Trinity is a magnificent description of this reality. And he writes, "In the beginning, there is the community of the three, not the solitude of a one. This community is sustained by love communion, an intimate participation in the life of the other. And this, my friends, is God's gift to us. The creation story that we read this evening further unfolds for us this gift, for we are created in the likeness of God. God wanted us to live in that extreme relationality that is the essence of what God is. Those early chapters of Genesis show to us how God's plan is hijacked by the evil one. Contrary to what you have been taught in Sunday school or even in seminary, I want to encourage you not to think about the stories of the human race found in these three chapters of the book of Genesis as a story on original sin alone, but as a story about the sin against our origin. Same words, different meanings. I do believe that this is not a story about original sin alone, for we then start thinking about chronology, the first among many. Rather than that, for me, this is a story that shows the sin against our origin. For we were created in the likeness of God, in this community that lives in extreme relationality. That's what God wanted for you, the human race, and for all creation. But that plan is distorted by sin. And you hear the story. The serpent convinced Eve to eat of the fruit. She invites Adam, who willfully joins her. And when God is looking for them in the garden, they hide. And when finally God finds them, God says, "What do you mean that you're naked? How do you know that?" And immediately Adam said, "It wasn't me. It was the woman that you gave me." And when God turned to the woman said, "It wasn't me either. It was the serpent." So that extreme relationality among humans was fragmented. And then you continue to read the story and you find the story of the two brothers and how murder and violence enters into the picture. And when again God goes to find out what's going on, Cain responds, "Am I my brother's keepers?" That relationship, that intimate relationship in creation, distorted by sin. The sin of Adam and Eve and of Cain was a sin against our origins. The extreme relational community for which we were created is temporarily destroyed by the evil one. Through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, the triune God is at work among us to restore us unto this community. For that reason, the triune God continues to call us to cross all borders that become rigid frontiers, separating us from God and from one another. Let me finish with a story of borders and frontiers and the neglect, a story about the neglect of the gift of inclusion, of grace, love, and communion that comes from God. Some of you in the audience have heard this story before if you had attended some of our global mission events. And this is a true story that happened to me, and it was the most significant learning in my life, even more than in seminary. And it happened in the city of New York, and I have talked to some New Yorkers here. My first time out of the island of Puerto Rico many years ago in the late 1970s was when I was sent to the seminary in Philadelphia. I didn't know the language, didn't know the culture. So that summer before August, I have to learn a culture and a language. And it was an enjoyable experience. And from that experience, I think that I had become a kind of an East Coast person. And I could handle Philadelphia very well. But New York, I mean, I always engage the city of New York with that stereotypical vision we have of the city. The city is too large. The pace of life is too fast. It will eat you up alive. New York is for New Yorkers and all those things that we see or we think about the city. But in my work, I had to travel to New York very frequently. Very frequently. And I did it within the confinement of my safety nest. And I will get on the phone and call my roommate from seminary, who is a pastor in Long Island. And Tom will go to either LaGuardia or JFK to pick me up, drive me to my meeting place, drive me back to the airport, and I will go home. I didn't have to engage the city at all. Until one day that I was at the National Council of Churches of Christ offices. And I don't know what led me to, or what possessed me, that's a better word, possessed me to think that I could go to the airport by using public transportation. I immediately did what most people do these days. I Googled it, and I found that the M60 bus will take me from Columbia University down to LaGuardia. I walked from the NCC offices to Columbia, found the bus stop. As soon as I stood there, this homeless woman came by me and stood on my side. Immediately, I began to feel my uneasiness. And she engaged me in conversation. What are you doing in New York? I came for a meeting. Where are you going to? I'm going home to Chicago. What do you do for a living? Since I was dressing all my blacks and a big collar, I turned around and said, I'm a preacher. The woman looked for some coins and dropped the coins in the saxophone case of a man that was playing about 2 feet away from me. As she dropped the coins in the case, she said to the man, play some music for my friend. He is from Chicago. Immediately, the man proceeded to play some jazz. There I stood, listening to jazz, mindful of the woman. I could see her, I could smell her, and I was dealing with all this uneasiness about all this experience. A bus approached the stop, and as it was coming closer, I took a step to get in line, and I heard this voice that said, "That's not your bus. I will help you." I took a step back, waited, listening to music, mindful of the woman beside me. Another bus came in, and she indicated that that was my bus. I came in, deposited the fare, sat down. The woman came and sat behind me. The bus began its journey down the Broadway Street and turned right onto 125th Street, a very famous street in the city of New York. As the bus turned into 125th Street, the woman began to give me a tour of what happened there many years ago during the civil rights movement. She pointed to places where things happened, and she told some stories about Malcolm X, Dr. King, even noticing my Spanish accent about the Young Lords. When that part of the tour was over, she handed me a newspaper. And I don't remember if it was an old newspaper or a paper for the day. And I immediately began to read about it, the newspaper. And as I was flipping through the pages, I began to think about the experience. And I said, oh my God, what is wrong with this picture? Here is the executive director of Global Mission that talks about accompaniment and theologizes about all of this very well. But how about engaging this woman? I close the newspaper and turn back to talk to her, and she was gone. Immediately, a lot of verses from Scripture came to my mind to shame me. One in particular, be hospitable to one another, for you will host angels without knowing. The bus continued its journey, and it came to a stop. The driver shouted from the front, "Sir, this is your stop." No one paid attention. He leaned back and said, "Father, this is your stop." I guess he was talking to me, for I was the only one in the bus dressed like a father. So out of curiosity, rather than exiting through the middle door, I came to the front. And I asked him, "How did you know that this was my stop?" And he replied, "Your friend told me that you were going to Chicago and asked me to make sure that you did not miss your stop." Every time that I go to New York, to that same office, I take the same M60 bus. And as I walk in front of Columbia University, guess what I do? I think that if I even see her now, I will not be able to recognize her, for it has been a long time. I shared this story with a friend of mine who was a preaching professor at the Lutheran School of Theology in Chicago, Richard Jensen. And immediately, as a preaching professor, he said, "Rafael, you have a sermon there. You need to find the text for it." And then, on a more pastoral way, he said, "If you make it to heaven," and he underscored the "if" part of the question, "if you make it to heaven, guess who's going to open the door for you? The woman from New York." I was not able to see the face of God in that other woman. I was not able to recognize that likeness of God with which we have been gifted. I was not able to appropriate in that moment that call to cross borders with a poor saxophone player and a homeless woman. I was good at theologizing about mission, but I fail to engage in mission. For mission can only happen, my friends, when you are able to see the face of God on that other. Mission is only possible when you risk crossing those borders and accept the invitation to go to the other side, not afraid, not fearful, but sure that you are going on the authority of the one who crossed a border to live among us. And it is that one who shows us what God is really like. It is a vulnerable God. It is a God that lives in extreme relationship, not only within God's self, but with us, God's creature. Go. Risk. Cross borders. In the name of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Now, if you can find those hymnals, we respond in song. Hymn number 748. Please rise.
Of your red hymnal. We together confess our faith in the triune God. We believe in one God.
Led by the Holy Spirit and with the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, for those in need, and for all of God's creation.
God of mercy, hear your people.
Listen to our prayer.
church in every land. Bless the ministry of all the baptized, that they may speak boldly of your love. We pray.
God have mercy.
Creation and bless all who tend the land. We give thanks for the coming of summer to this mountain valley, for the blooming of the wild flowers, the birth of baby mule deer, and the birds that fill all around. Give us eyes to see the beauty and intricacy of creation, and the wisdom to care for the land for future generations. We pray.
God have mercy, hear our people, listen to our prayer.
Empower the leaders of all nations to lead with an authority guided by your wisdom and mercy. We pray especially for the people of Haiti, in the recovery and renewal from the earthquake a year and a half ago. Renew all affected by the Haiti earthquake and natural disasters around the world with the faith that by the power of your life-giving spirit, you make all things new. We pray. Those we name before you now, either silently or aloud. In every situation, help them to know you are with them always. We pray.
God have mercy.
Join with all the saints in your eternal presence and glory. We pray.
God have mercy. Hear your people. Listen to our prayer.
Into your hands, O God, we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray, trusting in your abundant mercy. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen. The peace of the risen Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share a sign of that peace. The baptismal font.
On
receive the benediction. Holy eternal majesty, holy incarnate word, holy abiding spirit, be with you now and always. Amen.
Go in peace, share the good news.
Thanks be to God.